Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, 14 December 2022, 2 Corinthians.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. Therefore, open the word of God to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians 3. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. The very fact that we are even here this evening is a demonstration of who and what you are. And as we assemble to fellowship in your word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of the scriptures of your word to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. We are in 2 Corinthians 3, verses 13 to 16, which is a paragraph on the two veils. The first veil is found in verse 13. And that is a literal veil that Moses wore to hide the fading glory of the Mosaic Law. That's verse 13, which says, "And we are absolutely not like Moses, who would regularly put a veil over his face for the purpose that the sons of Israel would not look intently at the end of what was fading away," that is, the fading glory of the Mosaic Law. That's a literal veil. Verses 14 to 16 is a figurative veil, and in the times in which we live today, this is very, very important that you understand. You don't want to be wearing this veil. Unfortunately, in America today, the hearts of the people of this nation are covered with a veil. And what is that veil? Scar tissue of the heart. Unbelievers covered with scar tissue of the heart for saying no to the gospel, no to the grace gospel, no to Jesus Christ. And so they have this veil of scar tissue on their heart. And then we have believers in Jesus Christ who are wearing the same veil, the veil of scar tissue covering their heart, because they react and say no to the teaching of the Word of God. Today in America, we're no different than the Exodus generation. They had the greatest Bible teacher of all time, Moses. And they reacted to Moses. They thought they were smarter than Moses. They said no to the teaching that Moses gave And they all died the sin unto death in the wilderness. None of them went into the land. 2 million of them died. Why? They were believers in Jesus Christ. They had the greatest Bible teacher ever. And they reacted. They thought they were smarter than Moses was. They reacted and said, "No, Moses, we understand what you're teaching, but we don't believe it." Well, the same thing's going on in America right now, unfortunately, among Christians. And as Paul is writing this, he says the same veil that was on the hearts of those Jews in Moses' day, that same veil of scar tissue is on the hearts of Jews in Paul's day. And so in the Old Testament, they had the greatest teacher, Moses. In the first century, they had the greatest teacher, the Apostle Paul. And the Jews in Paul's day had the same veil of scar tissue on their heart. The Apostle Paul clearly exegeted the grace and truth of the Word of God. And they said, "Paul, we understand what you're saying. We don't believe you, Paul." They reacted. They thought they were smarter than Paul was. Just as the Exodus generation thought they were smarter than Moses was. And every time you say no to truth, you put scar tissue on your soul. Why is America in apostasy and approaching the fifth cycle of national discipline? Why? Because hearts have a veil of scar tissue on their soul. Unbelievers and believers. A veil of scar tissue on their soul. So this is certainly a passage in the time in which we lived. You don't want to walk down the same road as the Exodus generation or the Jews in the Apostle Paul's day. So that second veil is given in verses 14 to 16, which says, "But the thinking in their hearts was hardened." The verb is porao, a verb for scar tissue of the heart on the Exodus generation. And then Paul goes on and says, "For until this very day," Paul's writing 2 Corinthians at 57 A.D., he says, "even now, the same veil remains unlifted during the careful analysis and exegesis." Who's doing the careful analysis and exegesis? The Apostle Paul. They couldn't have greater analysis and exegesis of the Scriptures than the Apostle Paul. "But that same veil remains unlifted during the careful analysis and exegesis of the Old Covenant, the Mosaic Law. They continue to say no, to react and say no to the grace and the truth of the Word of God, because it," the veil of scar tissue, "is removed in Christ by means of faith in Christ. In fact, to this very day, whenever Moses," the Mosaic Law, "is carefully analyzed and exegeted," and this is Paul replying about himself, "a veil lies over their heart," scar tissue of their heart. Verse 16, "But whenever anyone changes his thinking and turns to the Lord, to faith in Jesus Christ, the veil of scar tissue is removed and taken away." Now that brought us to a very important doctrine, and certainly one that royal family of God must certain know inside and out. And make sure you're not walking in the same footsteps as the Exodus generation or the Jews in the Apostle Paul's day. So we just began the doctrine of scar tissue of the heart. We studied point one, etymology, and there are several words there that are used in the God-breathed scriptures that teach scar tissue of the heart. The verb that we have in our verse, 2 Corinthians 3:14, porao. It's also used in Romans 11:7. The noun that comes from that, porosis, which is found in Mark 3:5 and in Ephesians 4:18. There is also the verb scleruno, which is found in Hebrews 3:8, 13, and 15. There is the noun sclerocardia, which is translated hardness of heart, Matthew 19:8. And from that there is the noun sclerotes, which is found in Romans 2:4 and 5. And then the adjective sclerotrachelos, which is found in Acts 7:51. We studied the etymology last time, and we got to point two, definition and description. Scar tissue of the soul, also known as hardness of heart, is the result of prolonged living in Satan's cosmic system. There is generally a logical retrogression in which blackout of the soul precedes scar tissue of the heart. That's presented in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. Blackout of the soul is the believer saying no to truth. No to the absolute truth of the Word of God. Every time you say no to the grace and truth of the Word of God, that opens up a vacuum called mataiotes in the mind. And that draws in false concepts, lies. And the Word of God teaches us that when you reject the truth, you believe the lie. Scar tissue of the heart is this false information being processed in the believer's frame of reference, norms and standards of his conscience, vocabulary center, memory center, and is the basis for application of lies to your own life. Negative volition creates a vacuum in the mind, the news called mataiotes, Ephesians 4:17, which means nothingness, emptiness, worthlessness. Blackout of the soul then spreads like a disease and results in scar tissue of the cardia, the heart. Scar tissue of the heart has a detrimental effect on every part of the soul. It results in loss of perceptive ability in the frame of reference. The believer with scar tissue of the heart can listen to the teaching of God's Word day after day after day, like the Exodus generation did with Moses, like the Jews did in Paul's day. They can hear the teaching of the Word of God day after day. We're going to see one of the great illustrations, Judas Iscariot. Judas Iscariot was with the Lord Jesus Christ every day. He saw all the miracles he performed, demonstrating that he is the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Savior, the Redeemer. And he said no. He never believed in Jesus Christ. He listened to Jesus Christ teach the Scriptures and give the grace gospel over and over and over. And Judas Iscariot said no. He's right with Jesus Christ. Day after day after day, listen to what he taught. And he said, no, 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 no. Until his heart was so scar tissued, he fulfilled the ultimate demonstration of arrogance. He committed suicide. When you say no and no and no, every time you say no, you're arrogant. You're just demonstrating your arrogance. Judas Iscariot thought he was smarter than Jesus Christ. He said no, no, no. And it got to the point he was totally scar tissued and he went out and hanged himself. So it results in loss of perceptive ability in the frame of reference. The believer with scar tissue of the heart can listen to the teaching of God's word every day and react, still react, and build scar tissue on his heart. In his memory center, he forgets what doctrine he has learned, and he cannot apply Bible doctrine to his life. His spiritual momentum is stopped. In his vocabulary storage, all technical language of the God-breathed scriptures is gradually destroyed. He no longer speaks of God's grace and God's power and doctrinal truth, and he replaces it with vocabulary of the cosmic system, which doesn't mean anything. In his categorical storage, scar tissue of the heart destroys categorical doctrinal understanding and divine viewpoint thinking. Divine viewpoint thinking is replaced with human viewpoint garbage. Scar tissue of the heart destroys divine viewpoint norms and standards, wiping out the conscience. Loss of divine viewpoint norms and standards motivates the believer to function under the plan of Satan, not the plan of God. And then in the launching pad, scar tissue of the heart destroys all application of Bible doctrine, truth. Instead, you apply lies. Lies. You rejected the truth and believed the lie. And now your life is a living lie. Scar tissue of the heart is a guarantee of the destruction of virtue love. There is no personal love for God the Father when you have scar tissue on the heart. There is no impersonal love for all mankind when you have scar tissue on the heart. There is no occupation with Jesus Christ when you have scar tissue on the heart. Scar tissue of the heart results in the believer entrapped in the cosmic system, functioning under interlocking systems of arrogance, extremely arrogant, and interlocking systems of hatred, antagonism, and rejection of grace and truth. This culminates in the most awful discipline from God. Well, that's point two of the doctrine of scar tissue. That brings us to point three. We start tonight at point three. The divine mandate regarding scar tissue is found in 1 John 2:15, and that's in our Thursday night class. 1 John 2:15 says, "Stop loving the cosmic system or anything in the cosmic system. If anyone keeps loving the cosmic system, then the love for the Father is not in him." When you reject the truth, you believe the lie. You enter into Satan's cosmic system, and now you're loving the cosmic system and those things involved in the cosmic system. We can only obey this command by having positive volition and humility. Respect for the authority of God, His Word, and the pastor who teaches it. We only obey this command by living the spiritual life, by the spiritual skills. You must be filled with the Spirit, not grieving the Spirit and quenching the Spirit. It includes a consistent and faithful metabolization of the Word of God. But if you're going to do that, you see, you come... Why did you come? You didn't come to worship me. You came to worship the Lord. The Magi came to worship the Lord, the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. They brought gifts to worship as they came to worship the King. Every time you assemble here, you are assembling to worship the King. And there's only two gifts that you need to bring: positive volition and humility. If you come in with arrogance, just turn around and go right back out, because you're wasting your time and mine. You're no different than the Exodus generation. You're no different than the Jews in Paul's day. There are two things you have to come worship the King: positive volition and humility. Respect for God, His Word, and the pastor who teaches it. And then executing God's plan, will, and purpose for your life. Point four. Scar tissue of the heart in the unbeliever is the enemy of evangelism. Scar tissue of the heart in the unbeliever is the enemy of evangelism. Every time an unbeliever says no to the grace gospel, scar tissue is placed on his soul. Now you can pass the point of no return. Judas Iscariot passed the point of no return. Here he is with the Lord Jesus Christ day after day after day, and he said no to the grace gospel again and again and again. He never believed in Jesus Christ as his Savior. And finally, he passed the point of no return. His heart was totally scar tissued. And he demonstrated the greatest illustration of arrogance by committing suicide. He died as an unbeliever. He's in torments right now. He will spend eternity in the lake of fire. So the scar tissue of the heart in the unbeliever is the enemy of evangelism. 2 Corinthians 3, verses 14 to 16, in our paragraph on the two veils. But there's some other passages. Turn over to 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4. We're in 2 Corinthians 3. It's not that far. 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4. And even if our gospel, that's the grace gospel that the Apostle Paul communicated again and again and again, and even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the god of this world, Satan, has blinded the minds of the unbelieving. Well, they have said no to the grace gospel and believed the lie of a false gospel, salvation by works, in whose case the god of this world, Satan, has blinded the minds of the unbelieving that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Another passage that describes this very clearly is 2 Peter chapter 2. Turn over to 2 Peter 2. Let's start at verse 17. These men, who are these men? They are false teachers, unbelievers, proclaiming a false gospel. No one listening to them will ever be in heaven. They are false teachers proclaiming a false gospel. These men are springs without water, and fog driven by a storm, and blackest darkness is reserved for them. That's the lake of fire, eternal condemnation. For they mouth empty, boastful words, and by appealing to the lustful desires of the sin nature, they entice people who are just escaping from those who live in error. They promise them freedom while they themselves are slaves of depravity. For a man is a slave to whatever has mastered him. If they have escaped the corruption of the world, the cosmic system, by knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and they do, every time the grace gospel is given, God the Holy Spirit, they are removed from the cosmic system, God the Holy Spirit makes the grace gospel totally perspicuous. They can totally understand the issue for eternal salvation. Every time the gospel is given, the common grace ministry of God the Holy Spirit makes it absolutely clear. They know the issue. They know the issue is faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. They understand that. And then they say no. If they have escaped the corruption of the cosmic system through the common grace ministry of God the Holy Spirit by knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and then are again entangled in it and overcome, they say no to the grace gospel, they are worse off at the end than they were at the beginning. Yes, because now they have scar tissue on their heart. It would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than to have known it and then to turn their backs on the sacred command that was passed on to them. Of them, the Proverbs are true. A dog returns to its vomit, and a sow that is washed goes back to her wallowing in the mud. A couple of things. Let's, in amplifying this, this is a great passage. Subpoint one, the unbeliever living in the cosmic system hears the gospel, the grace gospel. The grace gospel is faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. The unbeliever living in the cosmic system hears the gospel, but then he says no to Christ and rejects the gospel. Two, so like a dog, now all of you dog lovers and those who have dogs, you'll understand this proverb. In fact, I saw this tonight. Debbie and I and Buddy were here, and Debbie's making dinner. We have dinner at 3 o'clock. That's my dinner. And Buddy has dinner too. Well, Buddy gets so excited, he goes in and starts, and they start choking. And then comes out, and here comes everything right back out again. Right, it was right in the hallway here. It didn't last. It wasn't there very long. It wasn't there very long. He looked at it and goes, hey, that really looked good. Down it went again. So I watching, I go, maybe I just ought to have him come in here and show you. If you don't have a dog, if you have a cat, I feel sorry for you. But and when I say that, if you have a cat, it's not a sin. Just doesn't show a lot of thinking, you know. So like a dog, he returns to his vomit. And that is the function of scar tissue of the heart. You say no, no to the grace gospel, no to Jesus Christ. And now you return to your vomit. You say no, and now you have scar tissue of the heart. Three. At gospel hearing, the unbeliever is pulled out of the cosmic system for the moment by the convicting ministry of God the Holy Spirit, the common grace ministry of the Spirit of God. They hear the truth of the gospel outside the cosmic system. The Holy Spirit makes it clear. This is true. This is it. This is the issue. So they have no one to blame but themselves. For if they say no to Christ and reject the grace gospel, they go back into the cosmic system. And the latter stage is worse than the first. If they say no to Christ and reject the grace gospel, they go back into the cosmic system, and the latter stage is worse than the first. 5. This unbeliever scar tissue of the heart is illustrated by Judas Iscariot. Turn over to Matthew 27. Matthew 27. Now again, Judas Iscariot was with our Lord Jesus Christ, along with the other disciples. He was with them day after day after day. He saw all of the miracles he performed, which demonstrated that he was the Messiah, the Anointed One, promised in the Old Testament Scriptures, the Savior, the Redeemer. He heard him teach. He heard him teach the absolute truth of the Word of God and the grace gospel again and again and again. And all of that, he said no. And he got to the point where he was all scar tissued up. An unbeliever, all scar tissued up. Matthew 27, verse 3. When Judas, who had betrayed him, betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ, saw that Jesus was condemned, he was seized with remorse. He got all emotional. He didn't change his thinking. He just got all emotional. And he returned the 30 silver coins to the chief priests and the elders. I have sinned, he said, for I have betrayed innocent blood. What is that to us? They replied. That's your responsibility. So Judas threw the money into the temple and left, and then he went away and he hanged himself. His heart was all scar tissued up. After all of these chances at salvation, he finally went to the ultimate in arrogance and committed suicide. The scar tissue built up in his heart until he expressed it in maximum arrogance. He went out and hanged himself. Subpoint 6. Blackout of the soul and scar tissue of the heart combined to reject all forms of truth. Blackout of the soul and scar tissue of the heart combined to reject all forms of truth. Turn over to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. John chapter 12, starting at verse 37. Even after Jesus had done all these miraculous signs, miracles, in their presence, they saw miracle after miracle after miracle, which demonstrated he was the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Savior. Even after Jesus had done all these miraculous signs in their presence, they still would not believe in him. They still would not believe in him. And this was to fulfill the word of Isaiah the prophet. Lord, who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For this reason, they could not believe, because as Isaiah says elsewhere, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, scar tissue of the heart, so that they can neither see with their eyes, nor understand with their hearts, nor turn, and I would heal them. This is all. This scar hardening, blackout of the soul and scar tissue of the heart is from the volition of the individual unbeliever. You say no, and every time you say no, you add more scar tissue to the heart. Blackout of the soul and scar tissue of the heart combine to reject all forms of truth. Turn over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Second Thessalonians 2, verses 10 through 12, verse starting at verse 10. And in every sort of evil that deceive those who are perishing, they perished because they refused to love the truth and so be saved. And for this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie. There's the principle. When you reject the truth, you will believe the lie. And so that all will be condemned who have not believed the truth, but have delighted in reversionism. 2 Thessalonians 2, 10 through 12. So scar tissue of the heart in the unbeliever is the enemy of evangelism. All right? That brings us to point 5. However, scar tissue of the heart cannot prevent salvation. As long as there's still an aperture there that isn't totally, you haven't passed the point of no return. And Deb and I, we talked about this many times. Her mother was saved. Everyone in her family, all her sisters were all believers in Jesus Christ. The only one was her father, was not. And he would always come down here at least once a year. And every time he came down, he heard the grace gospel. Again and again and again. And he said, no, no, no. And Deb, well, she would start, we'd start talking and then she'd start crying. I said, well, he's got a lot of scar tissue on his heart, but if there's just a little aperture of where light can get through, I said, and we can't come to that conclusion. As long as he hasn't gone as far as Judas Iscariot, there's still a point where when the gospel's given the next time, the Holy Spirit will say that this is true, and he will believe. Well, it went all the way down to the very end of his life. He couldn't live anymore in a house. Debbie's sister, Lori, and her husband, Bill, they bought a mobile home and put it right next to their mobile home, put him in it. And that way he, and then they built a walkway to go from his to theirs. And he heard the gospel, heard the gospel, heard the gospel. And then when God knows if a person's going, God is omniscient. He knows if there's someone who is going to believe in Jesus Christ. And if he knows that, he has an angel there to keep you alive till you get to that point. Well, he is getting near the end of his life, but his guardian angel was right there because God knows that he's going to believe in Christ. And the angel starts talking to Bob. And he said, the angel said, Bob, why are you fighting this? Well, I've never said that. I've never said, Bob, why are you fighting this? Debbie's never said, Dad, why are you fighting this? Nobody in your family said, Dad, why are you fighting this? And here's this guy in his mobile home says, Bob, why are you fighting this? And then he says, yeah, why am I fighting this? And the Holy Spirit starts going through the issue. He's heard it and heard it and heard it. And he gets up and he leaves his mobile home, goes over to Bill and Lori's mobile home, and he says, this guy in my mobile home over here, he said, Bob, why are you fighting this? And I said, I don't know why I'm fighting this. Will you tell me again what the issue is? How I can know for sure the gospel and the good news and how I can get to heaven? So Lori gave him the grace gospel again right there. Holy Spirit saying, this is true, this is true, this is true. And then he said, okay, I want to pray to God the Father and tell him I'm believing in Jesus Christ. She said, okay, well, do it right now. So he bowed his head and he prayed, I am believing in Jesus Christ. And when he got done, he says, I have to call Debbie right now. So Lori calls first, and Debbie answered the phone. She says, Dad has something he wants to say to you, and you're not going to believe what he has to say. And so he told it to her, and Debbie just sat there and cried. All the time while he was talking, she just cried. And when it got all done, I said, well, there was a little aperture that wasn't scar tissued over. And he placed his faith in Jesus Christ. He's in heaven. And he told Debbie, he says, and I know it's not by my works. Because he heard that from me about a million times. I know it's not by my works. It's just by faith in Jesus Christ and no works at all. So, that's absolutely it. So point five. However, scar tissue of the heart cannot prevent salvation. As long as there is you haven't passed the point of no return, you have the opportunity to believe in Jesus Christ, and then when you believe in Christ, all the scar tissue is removed at the moment of faith in Jesus Christ. And probably one of the great illustrations of this is Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar, that he's the one that God brought in to administer the fifth cycle of national discipline on the southern kingdom in Jeremiah's day. And Jeremiah told the people, they had a great Bible teacher, Jeremiah. And they didn't listen to Jeremiah. They thought they were smarter than Jeremiah. In fact, they tried to kill Jeremiah. They said no to what Jeremiah taught. And he said, well, Nebuchadnezzar is going to come in and the Chaldeans, and they're going to administer the fifth cycle of national discipline, and the southern kingdom will be destroyed, the temple destroyed, most of the people slaughtered, and the survivors taken back to Babylon. Well, Nebuchadnezzar came. He was God's. God used Nebuchadnezzar to administer the fifth cycle of national discipline. Just like God can use Russia, Korea, Iran, China to administer the fifth cycle of national discipline to the United States of America. But Nebuchadnezzar believed in Jesus Christ. So turn over to Daniel chapter 5. Old Nebuchadnezzar is in heaven. Daniel chapter 5, let's start at verse 20. But when his heart became arrogant, and that always is the key to scar tissue on the heart, arrogant and hardened with pride, he was deposed from his royal throne. A revolution took place. He was no longer the king of the Chaldeans. He was deposed from his royal throne and stripped of his glory. He was driven away from people, and he was given the mind of an animal. He lived with the wild donkeys. Now that's where a lot of politicians ought to live. He lived with the wild donkeys and ate grass like cattle. And his body was drenched with the dew of heaven until he acknowledged that the Most High God is sovereign over the kingdoms of men, and sets over them anyone he wishes. He placed his faith in the Most High God, Jesus Christ. Nebuchadnezzar was an unbeliever. He was obviously living in the cosmic system. He was also a genius. He became psychotic, living in the cosmic system, and a lot of believers become psychotic living in the cosmic system. And then a revolution took place, and that revolution was the shock which caused him to start thinking about the Most High God, Jesus Christ. It took him 7 years to recover the ability to think. Scar tissue of the heart and arrogance caused him to be deposed of his throne. But then he became a believer in Jesus Christ. He placed his faith in the Most High God, the Lord Jesus Christ, for eternal salvation. And then he was restored to his throne. Nebuchadnezzar was positive at God consciousness, which was the key to overcoming scar tissue of the heart for eternal salvation. Point six. Scar tissue of the heart means discipline, loss of blessing, and for some believers it means the sin unto death. Scar tissue of the heart means discipline, loss of blessing, and for some believers, the sin unto death. All right, we're going to go through some illustrations here in the Word of God. Illustration number one. Illustration number one, the Exodus generation. Turn over to Psalm 95. Psalm 95. Scar tissue of the heart means discipline, loss of blessing, and for some, the sin unto death. Psalm 95, starting at verse 8. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart, scar tissue of the heart, as you did at Meribah, as you did that day at Massah in the desert, where your fathers tested and tried me, though they had seen what I did, all of the miracles that Jesus Christ did. For 40 years, I was angry with that generation, I said, they are a people whose hearts go astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared on oath in my anger, that's the absolute righteousness and perfect justice of God, they shall never enter my rest. And they didn't. They died the sin unto death in the wilderness. Turn over to Exodus 17. Exodus 17. Exodus 17, starting in verse 1. The whole Israelite community set out from the desert of Sin. That's Sin. You pronounce it Sin, not Sin. The desert of Sin, traveling from place to place as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. So they quarreled with Moses. They're blaming Moses. They have been blessed by association with Moses. And have no capacity to appreciate being blessed by association with Moses. So they quarreled with Moses and said, give us water to drink. Moses replied, why do you quarrel with me? Why do you put the Lord to the test? But the people were thirsty for water there, and they grumbled against Moses. They said, why did you bring us up out of Egypt to make us and our children and livestock die of thirst? Well, he didn't do that. He's following the Lord, taking them to the land that he promised them. Verse 7, and he called the place Massah and Meribah because the Israelites quarreled and because they tested the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? Well, they had the greatest Bible teacher of all time, Moses, and they said, no, no, no. They understood what he was saying. They just said, Moses, I understand what you're teaching. I don't believe it. The people complained against Moses because of lack of water. They ignored all the logistical grace blessings that the Lord provided for them day by day by day. Those with scar tissue of the heart always distort any manifestation of blessing from God into a lie. They said God brought them out to kill them. He didn't. He was taking them to the land that he promised them. And they distorted the truth of God into a lie. So those with scar tissue of the heart always distort any manifestation of blessing from God into a lie. Scar tissue of the heart does not respond to grace and truth, only to discipline. In Numbers chapters 13 and 14, the scar tissue of their hearts caused them to weep all night. They only stopped when they heard their discipline. And what was that discipline? That they would not enter the land. Number 16 is another revolution of the Exodus generation. The Korah, Dathan, and Abiram revolution. And 1 Corinthians 10 verse 5, Paul says, most of that generation died the sin unto death. Illustration number 2. Illustration number 2, the failure of the last king of Israel, Zedekiah. The failure of the last king of Israel, Zedekiah. Turn over to 2 Chronicles 36. 2 Chronicles 36. Second Chronicles 36, let's start at verse 11. Zedekiah was 21 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 11 years. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord, in the eyes of the Lord his God, and he did not humble himself before Jeremiah the prophet. Well, Zedekiah didn't humble himself before Jeremiah the prophet, and the people in the southern kingdom, Judah, did not humble themselves before Jeremiah the prophet. They were arrogant. They reacted to what Jeremiah taught. They had no humility, no respect for God's faithful communicator. They thought they knew more than Jeremiah. So he did evil in the eyes of the Lord his God and did not humble himself before Jeremiah the prophet, who spoke the word of the Lord. He also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who had made him take an oath in God's name. He became stiff-necked and hardened of heart, hardened his heart, scar tissue of the heart, and he would not turn to the Lord, the God of Israel. The result was the administration of the fifth cycle of discipline to the Jews in 586 B.C. And Zedekiah, well, he was blinded, put in chains, and taken to Babylon. Ezekiel chapter 12, 8-16. Illustration number 3. Pharaoh Thutmose III. Romans chapter 9, verse 17. Romans 9:17, for the scripture says to Pharaoh, I raised you up for this very purpose, that I might display my power in you, and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. The scar tissue on Pharaoh's heart resulted in the whole world being evangelized for Jesus Christ. All the way to Jericho, a gal by the name of Rahab the prostitute heard about the scar-tissued heart of Pharaoh, that he would not let the Israelites go, would not let them go. And she believed in Jesus Christ as her Savior as a result of the scar tissue on Pharaoh's heart. So a couple of things. Let's amplify this. One, Pharaoh represented all the power of human rulership, but God demonstrated that this did not even come close to his infinite power. Pharaoh represented all the power of human rulership, but God demonstrated that this did not even come close to his infinite power. Two, God used Pharaoh's scar-tissued heart to evangelize the entire world. God used Pharaoh's scar-tissued heart to evangelize the entire world. Three, Rahab the prostitute became a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ through the hardness of Pharaoh's heart. Rahab the prostitute became a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ through the hardness of Pharaoh's heart. Turn over to Joshua chapter 2. Joshua chapter 2. Joshua chapter 2, let's start at verse 8. Before the spies laid down for the night, these are Jewish spies who have gone into Jericho. Before these Jewish spies laid down for the night, she went up on the roof. This is Rahab, the prostitute, and she said to them, I know that the Lord has given this land to you. She's a believer in Jesus Christ. I know that the Lord has given this land to you and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts melted and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below. Rahab the prostitute became a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ through the hardness of Pharaoh's heart. He would not let his people go. But God opened the Red Sea. The Israelites went through dry shod, 2 million of them. Not one of them died going through. The armies of Pharaoh went out in the middle. The water came and annihilated all the armies of Egypt. And that word carried all over the world, and many believed in Jesus Christ. Well, this is, we haven't finished the doctrine of scar tissue on the heart, but this is very powerful stuff. And yet today we don't look to the Word of God. It's warning us. God is warning us. Don't be like the Exodus generation. They had the greatest communicator, Moses. Don't be like the Jews in Paul's day. They had the greatest communicator, the Apostle Paul. Don't be like the Jews in Jeremiah's day. They had this great communicator, Jeremiah. And they all hardened their heart. And with in Jeremiah's day, the fifth cycle of national discipline came to the client nation to God. They were destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. And at the time he destroyed them, he was an unbeliever. And then down the road, he became a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we are in the United States of America, and we are in apostasy and degeneracy. But it's because of scar tissue, this figurative veil, scar tissue on the heart of unbelievers saying no to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and believers saying no to the teaching of the Word of God. We don't have Moses. I'm not Moses. I'm not the Apostle Paul. I'm not Jeremiah. But there are a few faithful communicators of the Word of God, communicating grace and truth. You don't want to go down the path of these people with scar tissue on their heart. Father, we thank you for your grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.